If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. With an eclectic collection of trivia, water cooler knowledge, new stories, and motivational thoughts, this is the Voice Overwork Podcast brought to you by Newton Media Group, a family of creative services. Welcome to the podcast. I'm Russell Newton, your host, and I appreciate your listening today. On the podcast today, we take a little deeper look into a book introduced in a previous podcast with a chapter-by-chapter look at The Brain Boost Blueprint, how to optimize your brain for peak mental performance, neurogrowth, and cognitive fitness. Mental Models for Better Living, Book 4, written by Peter Hollins, narrated by Russell Newton. Chapter 1, Neurofitness. When you break your leg, you go to the doctor. When you experience depression, you go to the psychiatrist or psychologist, maybe. And when you're having an existential crisis, you might even consult a spiritual leader or life coach. Though we like to divide ourselves up into body, mind, and spirit, the truth is that human beings are complex wholes, and mental health is not different from physical health or even spiritual health. It's all just health in the end. It's obvious when you think about it. There is no mind without a brain, and your brain is as much a physical part of you as your legs or spleen or immune system. It doesn't matter how high-minded your ideals, how strong your will, how lofty your dreams. If your physical being is compromised, then you can never reach your highest cognitive or intellectual potential. Although it might seem counterintuitive, one of the best ways to boost not just mental health, but your brain's ability to do what it does best, think, is to take care of your entire organism, and that includes your physical body. Take care of your physical fitness, and your brain inevitably benefits, and vice versa. Build a strong, healthy brain, and it will in turn help you maintain your physical health. This might seem an obvious point to some, but for others, we're dedicated to all systems working hard, pushing the boundaries, and burning the midnight oil. This simply won't work because we're not steel and oil machines that can be pushed in that manner. In this chapter, we'll talk about just how to prepare the body so that the mind can follow. The way we can increase our neurofitness actually has little to do with activities involving the brain. Rather, it's about actions that will benefit the brain as a side effect. You'll notice this theme throughout. Chapter 2, A Brainy Routine. It should be obvious from the research on yoga and dancing that, as wonderful as these activities are for body and mind, they are not silver bullets, and their influence lies in our ability to do them consistently and harness the power of neuroplasticity and our adaptive brains. It's not a one-off action that makes or breaks the resilience and strength of our brains, but actions over time, i.e., habits, routines, and conscious thought that become unconscious action. Yoga, done weekly for years, naturally has a cumulative and more substantial effect than merely dabbling here and there. So does any type of aerobic exercise we've learned. Making a conscious effort to make your health a priority is what counts, and this is a commitment that can be renewed in every moment of every day, consistently. Good habits and routines are nothing more than what we all know as common sense. The trick is to actually do them. Our health, mental, physical, or emotional, is built on the aggregate of dozens of tiny habits that all may seem insignificant on their own. In the same way, dozens of smaller poor choices made over and over again soon crystallize into poor health that then takes a lot more effort to shift once in place. If you maintain yourself mostly within healthy parameters for most of the time, it then becomes almost second nature to stay there. It might take a lot of effort to shift old patterns once they've ingrained themselves, but if you can make regular commitments on a small scale, You never put yourself in the position of having to take drastic action to get on the right path again. It should come as no surprise to anyone that good sleep, exercise, and proper nutrition will all make it significantly easier to maintain your brain in the peak state it needs to be to optimally process the world around you. Chapter 3, The Social Brain. The health of your brain and mind is, as we've seen, intimately bound up with the health of your body. But that's not all. Your brain is a marvelous organ with the sole purpose of making sense of the world around you. And that world includes other people. No woman or man is an island, as they say. And a corollary is that no woman's or man's mental health is completely isolated from the quality of his or her interactions with others. Relationships are at the foundation of good mental health, with many psychologists now understanding that loneliness, depression, and heartbreak can be just as debilitating as more serious diseases like diabetes or hypertension. Humans are social animals, and so much of our identity, our sense of fulfillment, our joy, and our purpose in life comes directly from our connection with others. Whether that's family, friends, or the community at large, mental and cognitive health is about not just solid neural connections in the brain, but social, familial, and romantic connections with others. You might even argue that it's an evolutionary quirk that sex, socialization, and being around others helped us be healthier and increase our chances of survival. Getting it on. In fact, for a specific example, there are now several different pieces of research that show a robust connection between regular sex and better cognitive health. A 2010 study showed that sexual activity was linked with neurogenesis, that is, brain growth, in male rats. And a 2013 study found that daily sexual activity also improved overall cognitive function in rats. You might suppose that rats are just primal beasts that function on only a limited set of drives. But in reality, humans are not. Chapter 4, Mental Sabbatical. A person can learn a lot about himself, the world, and his place in it by stopping for a moment to contemplate the nature of, well, nature. Observe the natural world for just a moment, and it's clear that things flow and move rhythmically, in cycles and undulations, coming and going, never quite the same from day to day. Crucially, for every upswing, there's a corresponding downswing. Spring follows winter. Animals sleep and then wake. Things grow up out of the soil and then dive back down into it again. In other words, even nature itself rests, relaxes, and takes time in every cycle to do nothing. We've already covered some of the reasons why it's so important to consciously build sleep, recuperation, and stillness into our daily routines. It's better for your brain. Going deeper, though, the virtue of rest is often measured in terms of how productive it makes you. Take power naps so you can be extra efficient when you wake up. Sleep 8 hours so you can go even harder at the gym the next day. Go on a retreat somewhere in the mountains so you're ultra energized to give your best at your boring office job when you get back. But even though it's true that rest allows for greater action, it's also something to be enjoyed for its own sake, not because of what we can get out of it. Sometimes it's enough to unplug, to let go of goal-driven activity, and just be as we are, and let the world come to us for a moment. This is the essence of deep relaxation. Letting the mind and body go without grasping on to any ideas of how that should look, and embracing stillness, softness, and quietness. Practicing calm and relaxation. Chapter 5, True Brain Training. By now, it's more than clear that maintaining cognitive and mental health has a lot more to it than we previously assumed. In essence, everything discussed here is an attempt to master and optimize the brain's neuroplasticity, that is, the ability of the brain to rewire itself, literally changing neural pathways according to new information and skills it acquires. In other words, the brain adapts its structure to match its function. If you value learning, mental flexibility, good memory, and the ability to be creative, then it pays off to support all your brain's functions, not just the more narrow ones we've come to associate with brain exercise, chess, listening to Mozart, or doing number puzzles, for example. More and more, it seems that a strong and healthy brain and mind are the natural result of a complete lifestyle that facilitates health for the entire being. Use it or lose it perhaps describes this phenomenon best. The brain is not a muscle like the heart, and it doesn't need to be trained in quite the same way. But the brain is a tool composed of tissue and running on electrical and chemical energy that, through complex transformations, becomes our lived experience in this world. When you fail to use your muscles, they atrophy and weaken. When you fail to use your brain, it too becomes less conditioned over time. That's because, as we've seen, the way we use our brain has direct physical ramifications for the way it's shaped and how it functions. In the same way as those who played Tetris for 3 months ended up with a brain better adapted to playing Tetris, we too can shape our brain according to what we want to use it for. This is the heart of neuroplasticity. The brain eventually becomes better. Chapter 6. The Almighty Vagus Nerve. You may have seen mention of the vagus nerve here and there, but what exactly is it, and what does it mean for your cognitive well-being? Rather than being a single nerve, the vagus nerve is more like a network of nerves that runs from the back of the neck down to the abdomen. The vagus is from the Latin, and it's the same root as with words like vagrant and vagabond, and implies the nerve wanders throughout the body. It's really a pair of nerves, one left and right, and each very long. In fact, this network of nerves is the longest cranial nerve in our body and connects most of the major visceral organs and the brain. The vagus nerve coordinates an incredible array of functions, and it may be even more important than we first thought. Stimulating the vagus nerve is associated with rest and relaxation, moderating our fight or flight response. Many now believe that the mind-body connection has a lot to do with this nerve and how it can mediate between your thoughts and your feelings, your emotional state and your physical one. It's what makes people trust their gut. In essence, it links our brains to our bodies in a significant way, and we should pay attention to something that holds such a connective power. The fascinating thing about the vagus nerve is its relationship with the breath. It responds primarily to one's breathing rate. When we breathe slowly and deeply, we don't need our heart to pump as fast in order to supply oxygen to the rest of the body. When our breathing rate slows, it's the vagus nerve that tells the heart to slow down to match. Stimulating the vagus nerve directly will have this effect on the heart, which in turn calms down and relaxes our entire body, dropping our heart rate. The opposite of the fight or flight response. This has been the Brain Boost Blueprint. How to optimize your brain for peak mental performance, neurogrowth, and cognitive fitness. Mental Models for Better Living, Book 4. Written by Peter Hollins. Narrated by Russell Newton. Copyright 2020 by Peter Hollins. Production copyright by Peter Hollins. Please be sure to visit Amazon.com or Audible.com for more information on this book and the author. With an eclectic collection of water cooler knowledge, inspirational stories, and motivational thoughts from some of the newest audiobooks on the market, this has been the Voice Overwork Podcast, brought to you by Newton Media Group, a family of creative services.